That reminded me of an Aerosmith concert I went to in high school. am I allowed to say that and still be your pastor? Well, hey, I feel good. I don't know what happened. My throat's kind of gone goofy. I don't know. We rode 28 miles on our bikes on Friday, 25 miles yesterday, and the only thing that got affected was my throat. So who knows? But I'm excited that you're here. And today is one of those days that I think the enemy wouldn't want you to be here, and he wouldn't want you to be at home watching. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and we're in the last chapter. Remember the first three chapters, Paul describes how much God wants to connect with your life, that God absolutely loves you. He absolutely wants a relationship because of how much God loves you. And then there's this somewhat sudden and abrupt change when we get to chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul kind of jolts his readers and says, now there's something else that you need to know. I love you deeply. This is how I want you to conduct your life. And then there's this thing called combat. Paul talks about the life of a Christ follower, and he talks about the life of a Christ follower is actually a battlefield. We are a combatant in conflict with the enemy. There is a devil, and the devil is real, and he wants to ruin your life. And today we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, and you're like, okay, wow, that's what is that? And if you've ever read the book of Ephesians, when you get to chapter 6, there's something dynamic that happens. Paul starts to talk about this armor for the believer. And I'm telling you, there are so many beautiful sermons on the armor of God, so many interpretations on the armor of God. They're going to be way better than I can ever present to you, but here's what we miss. I don't know that you've ever heard a sermon on the verses that precede the armor of God. And the truth about these next couple of scriptures is that if you don't get these scriptures, the armor of God means basically very little. Let's look at these this morning. I'm going to read for you a couple of verses and then we'll talk about them. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Paul says, a final word. Whenever a preacher says a final word, it's not final. Normally it's a final word, but he says, here's the final word, but not quite yet. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. That is a key that we very rarely talk about in these verses. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you may be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be able to stand firm. This verse, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. So many sermons about the armor of God, but the most important reality is this, that we're able to use the armor of God. You can have the armor, you can have something. Let me show you. I brought my golf clubs. And I need Pastor Kevin and Pastor Zach. Now, Pastor Zach, I need you to come and do a drum roll because Pastor Kevin is going to amaze us. You can play the drums. I'm sorry, I'm the boss. Thank you. Now hold on here. Now don't be touching these. Listen to what this says in the first part of Ephesians. Paul is talking to his readers and he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him.
You told me to check the sound.
All right, Pastor Kevin, come here for a second.
I didn't mean that.
What are the brand of these golf clubs?
Callaway.
They're Callaway. They're good golf clubs. And because I don't golf well, I had to bring a putter back from Pebble Beach when I golfed there. I spoke at a conference. I said, don't pay me. Let's just do that. And then here's a golf towel from the Big Blue Monster in Florida. So these aren't crummy golf clubs.
Well traveled.
All right. Here's a golf ball that I don't think will damage any of our parishioners.
Uh-oh.
All I want you to do, hold on, you're going to give them a drum roll. I just want you to hit the back wall.
No.
Now, hold on. You cannot take a divot.
I can't make any promises.
All right, pick your club.
All right, well, I need some.
Start the drum roll.
Lock. How do I do that?
Add more. Hold on, Pastor Kevin. Add more. All right, that's ridiculous. Stop. Wait. Hold on. It's Paul, right? Stop. It's Paul, right? And you've been at Hope Church for a couple of months. Okay, Paul, can you just help us? Yeah. Zach, I love you. Grab your guitar. You're done. Yeah. Could you just sit there? All right, Pastor Kevin.
Where do I go?
Grab your guitar and start jamming. All right, now. And now, I know these are.
I'm not left-handed.
I was born this way. And I really was born left-handed. All right, let me just ask, are you okay with him?
I want the kids to duck, honestly. I'm gonna hit somebody.
Okay, now. This is in church, you're supposed to be on your knees in prayer. This might be a good time to be on. All right, now we need like a real drum roll, like whatever you can do to make him feel better. And this all over the drums if you can do it. Keep going. All right, Pastor Kevin, here we go. I'll pray for healing.
I want to hit Gracie. Thank God for that chair. Thank God for that chair. Here, I got it. I'm done, dude. I am done with that.
Do you not love the people in the church? Paul, thank you. All right, here's what you need to remember. Pastor Kevin will be signing autographs after church. You have to understand, no matter how nice these golf clubs are, it's never going to work for Pastor Kevin. Because he's not, well, these are left-handed clubs and he's right-handed. No matter how nice these golf clubs are, they don't work for me. And they're mine. Here's what you need to understand. If you do not live in the power of God's strength, when we get to the armor of God, it's worth nothing. It's like, you know, it's not fair to say, hey, Pastor Jack or Pastor Zach, I'm glad you can play guitar, play the drums. We think, oh, I'll show up at church, so I'm set for the armor. You're not. Paul was my sleeper unit who obviously knows how to take the same drumsticks and make them sound incredible. You have to understand the armor is not worth the material it's made of unless you wear it and have the power within you to use it. This is what Paul writes in the earlier chapters of Ephesians. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to connect with you and me and grow in us in such a way that when we put on the armor of God, we actually are able to stand because the days are evil. Now, I don't look at the glass of life half empty. I look at it positively, but the days are evil. Paul also says this in Ephesians, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. You understand at Hope Church, we over and over and over and over again try to make the Christian life simple. We tell you if you want to grow in Christ, you have to seek him. I don't care how you seek him, you have to seek him. I've said this before, if you're not a morning person, well then don't get up in the morning and try to have your quiet time with God. He may say, chill out and take a nap, you know. But you have to have time in prayer. You have to have time studying the Bible. We tell you to seek him. Like today, I'm so excited that Hope at Home is watching. I'm so excited that you're here. You have to take time to seek him and you have to take time to serve him. When I do things that put my faith into practice, it helps me grow. It really does. And nowhere in the Bible does it say to just get to know God so much and then it doesn't affect how you live. It doesn't affect what you do. And then we've talked about every one of us needs to live in such a way that our life shares him. That is not complicated, but it's not easy. But if you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, I don't know what else to tell you. When Paul says here, put on the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. The strategies of the devil are his means, his schemes. They want to enslave us. What the devil wants to do is he wants to make sin look super sexy. He wants to make sin look super appetizing. And then he wants to just have us taste what we think is good and then ruin our lives. That's what his goal is. Sinning is Satan's method to control us and to ruin our lives. John says it this way, in the latter years of his life, he's on an island by himself and says, for the world offers only the cravings for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. The world wants to paint a picture for you to not follow the Lord and to follow your passions. The world wants to paint a picture for you to not just follow your passions, but to crave the things that you see. If I had that, if I could just get that. And the world wants you to be propped up so everyone can see all that you've achieved. That's what the world wants. And it's super appetizing. It's super appetizing for people to look up to you and think, whoa, look what they've done. Wow, aren't you that? Wow, look what they're driving. Whoa, now I have arrived. The world wants you to think that things that you see with your eyes and the pleasures, they're the things that matter. And this is what John says at the end of that verse. But these are not from the Father, but they're from this world. Without a doubt, I would say one of the most uneasy areas of the Christian life is what we call the spiritual battle. It's uneasy because it's hard to grasp. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers that are unseen and we don't know. Okay, how do I cognitively wrap my head around that? How can I engage with something? You know, do you walk around and go, whoop, gotcha. You know, I mean, it's like an invisible thing. I mean, that's kind of an odd type of a thing, but here's what you need to know. Satan hates God so much. The scripture says that he prowls around the earth looking for somebody who loves God that he can destroy. Think about that. You're not in a battle, you're in a battle. Peter wrote about this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Paul is wanting to encourage his believers in Ephesus that there really is a battle that they're in. And the only way they're going to win this battle is to have God's Spirit in their lives and put on the armor because they're able to use it. He goes on and he says this, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This word fight or to wrestle with is a word that Paul is using, and it would be familiar to his Greek readers and the athletes. This is a word that Thayer defines like this, a contest between two in which each endeavor is to throw the other and place their arm down on a person's neck. So the word Paul here is using is a word that you're in a fight and the goal of this fight and the Greco, the wrestling was to get the other person down, have their hand on the neck. And then I read this, it says, in some cases, a loser in Greek wrestling had their eyes gouged out. So the Ephesian Greeks understood what Paul was talking about, and it meant so much to them. Another writer put it this way, the foes are not human or physical, they are spiritual. Spiritual forces that possess unbelievable power. The thrust of the verse is to stress the enormous power, the evil forces that stand against you and me. If you just dive down a little deeper into this, there's words like principalities, powers, rulers. And what Paul is doing here, he is conveying to them that there is a number of evil forces that struggle against the believer. And it seems, in fact, that they're somewhat organized into a governmental hierarchy from principalities and powers and rulers and high places. Paul says it's a place of darkness. And darkness for the believer is ignorance. We're not to fear the enemy and his schemes, but we're also not to be ignorant of them. The bottom line is that there are spiritual forces that work against the ways of God. There are people who are not led by God, who want to see you and me fall away from God. They want our loyalty and devotion that is due to God. The devil is a created being. And that created being tried to elevate himself above God. And God smote him out of heaven. And because he was a created being, he had the choice to serve and not serve God. And he chose to not serve God and to ruin anybody who would want to serve God. And you and me have this choice. I mean, when our kids were little, and you understand this, there were times I made them obey. They didn't want to obey. But because I was bigger, I made them obey. As a parent, it's so much nicer if your child chooses to obey. They want to obey. Thorne was so cute last night. You know, he came up and hugged Papa, and it was because he chose to. I didn't say, you get over here and you hug me right now. Let me feel that love. He's terrified. He's going to cry and hug me. You know, God, he gave us a choice. I wish we were all robots. You go to sin, you know, something would go off and you can't do. Okay, do the right thing. But that's not truly loving God. The only way you can truly love God is if you have a choice not to love God. Do you understand that? The only way that you can truly say, I truly love God is because I can make a choice that says, I hate God or I love God. And the devil made that choice. He said, I am not going to follow God. So he was cast out of heaven. And he seeks you and me in a very tricky fashion to serve him. I heard this statement so many years ago, and I've just never been able to let it go when it comes to how life works and how sin works. It kind of goes like this. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever planned to pay. And there's a great example of this in David. David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the scriptures say. Of course he was. He was a great man of God, but David looked at something that was very pleasurable. And because he was the king, he could say, hey, invite Bathsheba to my house. And because he was the king, he could do whatever he wanted to do, and he did. No problem. David sinned. She goes home. Life is good. But that's not how sin works, right? Then she gets pregnant. Hey, David, got a little issue. My husband's out fighting the war, and I'm pregnant. What do you want to do? No problem. I got this. Brings her husband back into town, gets him a little drunk, figures, you know, I'll get him a little drunk. He'll want to go be at home with his wife. He sleeps out front. He says, I could never be with my wife when I know the men are fighting for God. David gets him a little drunk again. Hey, don't you miss your wife? Yeah, of course I do. Go home. Have a great night. He goes and sleeps on the porch again. Sin's taken David further than he wants to go. Sends him back into battle. And then he says to the commander, put him in the front lines and make sure that he dies. Wait a minute, David. You invited Bathsheba home, and you know you just did something simple that you ought not to have done. And now you've brought her husband back. You tried to get him drunk, but that didn't work. So now you're going to send him back out to war And you've just told your commander to make sure he's dead. And he died. Now, David thinks, we're good. We're good. I feel sorry for that pregnant lady whose husband died. Bring her over. Nobody knew, but God knew. So God brings a prophet and says to David, there's a man who had a lot of sheep, lots and lots, and there's a person who had one sheep, and the guy with a lot of sheep stole the one sheep. And David says, that rotten man, he'll pay for this. And the prophet said, by the way, you're that man. And because you've done this, the baby is going to die. And not only that, your kingdom is going to fail. Sin always takes us further than we want to go. And it always keeps us longer than we want to stay. And then there's this price that we never thought we'd have to pay. And this is why it's important for you and me not to talk about the armor yet, but to talk about the power to use the armor. The power of God that Paul tries to convince you of in the first three chapters. There is a real battle against you and me, and it seems like the battle just keeps heating up. I could talk about multiple topics today where the mainstream media absolutely conflicts with the Word of God. Matter of fact, in September, on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about some current things, and we're going to talk about some things that are important. Really important, because the mainstream media that's always done this is trying to convince us to get away from God. In the Old Testament, the mainstream media said, if you really want to be a follower, sacrifice your kids to the fire, because the God of Baal. And if they would have done what the mainstream media said, how many little children would have been sacrificed? And a lot of them were. Well, I'm not mad at anybody or anything, but I can tell you this, don't kid yourself. These are good days to know the Lord. And there is still truth, absolute truth. And I know in philosophy, you know, there are no absolutes. How dumb is that a professor says that? There are no absolutes. Then when I brought up, wasn't that an absolute? That you said there's no absolutes? Huh. When we start thinking we're smarter than God, in our society, we're not. And I'm so thankful that Paul gives us insight. I mean, he gives us insight that we are able to stand firm. I absolutely love it. We are able to fight the good fight and continue to stand. I read a quote this week and it says this. Whatever supernatural forces there may be in this universe, Christ has gained victory over every single one of them, and so will we. To recognize this isn't to diminish the immense spiritual forces which they represent. If that were the case, we wouldn't be talking about the armor of God. You see, we're to take what God gives us. You know what I love about this? He doesn't say, go ahead and make the armor. Go ahead and just make yourself spiritual. You know, kind of a whew. He says, take what I've already given you and use it. And use it. Take what I have provided. I've given you my spirit. I died so your sins could be washed away. Take what I've done for you. Take it. Oh, I want you to have it. Man, after my ride on Friday night, I was so hungry. Cusano's pizza. When I saw them all lined up in there, I thought, I bet I could eat every one of these. I ate so much when we rode yesterday. I don't know. We ate dinner last night. I had a huge burrito, and I was trying to eat from the grandkids, and I ate half of Sharon's burrito. And I was just like, man, I'm so hungry. On the way home, we stopped, and I got an orange freeze. That's not true. I was going to say I didn't mean to order a big one, but I really did. And then I was hungry. If we could work out in God in a way that we hunger for him, I'm telling you, there is power. You don't need to be a superstar to do that. Hey, when I first started riding my bike, when I rode 3 miles, I was like, man, I am the champion. You know, now I ride 50 to 60 miles a week, and it's hard, but it's not hard. But it's just daily, weekly. A little bit. And if you want to grow in God, you can start today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can start today. If you are a believer, but you're really not growing in God, then you're going to be in trouble because you got this armor and you're not knowing what to do with it. You know, it's like Pastor Kevin saying, I'm right-handed. These are the wrong clubs. The armor is important, but the power of God in us is most important. Let me read one, just kind of a last verse, and then another one. Here's what Romans 13 says. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. You see, there is a battle, but when that battle's over, we are able to stand. When that battle's over, there's going to be a day where you and me, we meet Jesus personally. Friday when I was riding, I was closer to meeting Jesus than I was on Thursday. I thought, of course that car will stop. And so I shot right in front of him, and he didn't stop. And I thought, no, I didn't stop. I thought he would stop. Of course he sees me. I mean, it's not like I'm little. I mean, you can see me, white hair flowing, you know, caught, you know. He didn't even care. So I screamed. Thankfully, he stopped. But there's going to be a time where I'm going to meet Jesus. There's going to be a time when you're going to meet Jesus. But until we do, we've got to be able to stand. Why is that? Because the world's desperate and they don't know what to do. The world needs Jesus. Okay. Put on the armor. We don't make it, we just take it. So you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after, I love this, then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Now we're ready to talk about the armor of God. But I'm looking at the time. And instead, we're going to receive communion. And next week, we'll start talking about the armor of God. Here's my prayer for you and me today, and for Hope at Home. I've talked to so many different people lately that just seems like they're in a battle whether it's a battle with work, whether it's just a battle in life, whether it's just a battle day-to-day living. I want to pray for you that the Lord would be your encouragement. If the world could be your encouragement, you would already be much. But God wants to be your encouragement. He wants to be your help. And after I pray for you, and I want to pray for Hope at Home, we're going to receive communion. And communion is really where it all starts. It's where Jesus died and our life begins. You know, Paul says in the same manner, on the night which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had taken it, he gave thanks. And Jesus is in his writing, says, and do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, which is a new covenant in his blood. Take, drink. And no matter where you are right now, the devil wants to destroy you. Whether you feel strong, whether you feel weak, but no matter where you are right now, this communion works for you. Jesus said, I died so you can have life. Would you just connect to me? Would you just connect to me and let me connect to you? You don't have to be a member at Hope Church to receive communion, but the scripture is pretty clear that you need to be a member of the family of God. So if you've never accepted Christ, it's pretty easy to accept him. It's not so easy to live for him daily. At least it's been my experience for the last 40 years. I want to pray for you. And if you're in a time of just restlessness or struggle, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you and to bless you today. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for you. Just if you're struggling, Hope at Home, if you're struggling, know that I'm thinking about you. You know, those kids who've got COVID on this week, it doesn't surprise me one bit. Pastor Zach said, man, did God move, and this was the greatest week it could ever be. He says, but a couple of kids got COVID. I said, well, does that surprise me at all? Absolutely not. Anything that the enemy can do to divide the church, to destroy our lives, he'll do. But if you just sense a struggle, just a battle, I want to pray for you and I want to bless you. And then we'll all stand together and the worship team will come and lead us in one last song. Let's pray first. Father, thank you. I truly sense today just a heaviness because of this is the kind of stuff that sets us free. This is the kind of stuff the devil doesn't want me to say. This is the kind of stuff he doesn't want us to hear. That we can have the power of God to utilize the armor of God. And Father, I pray right now for those who feel broken, for those who feel beat up, for those who feel discouraged, for those who are concerned about their employment, God, for those who are begging for help for their children, God, for those who are just in their own emotional well-being, there's just a little something that they know they need your help. I pray right now, and I want you to look up at me if you want me to include you in my prayer. I want you to say, Pastor Jim, pray for me. Yeah, I love you all so much. Of course I'm going to pray for you. And why do you have you look at me? Because God brings you to my mind this week. I'm going to pray for you. I care about you. I care about the church that God has given me the privilege to serve. Hope at Home, and you can text me. Say, pray for me, Pastor Jim. Absolutely. Father, thank you for such wonderful people here today. And I don't know their struggle, but I know that you've asked me to pray for them, and I want to do that. I want to pray for them, and I bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with the power of your Spirit, that you would give them hope that comes from you. God, those who are struggling with sin, what does your word say? If we confess our sin, you're faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us of that unrighteousness. care about us. You care about us so much that you died for us. And God, we're going to, in some ways, we're going to celebrate that today. Your death, even though we hated it, brings us life. Brings us hope. It brings us health. So God, we come to you a little bit more desperate today because especially what we're talking about. God, as we receive this communion today, remind us how much that you love us. Put that picture in our mind that you are on the cross, Lord Jesus, loving us so much. You despise the shame, but you gave everything that we might find life and that we might find it abundantly. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Bless each one here and those at home, Lord. Fill them with you, Lord. Fill them with you. Help them to seek. Help them to be hungry to serve. Help them to be hungry to share. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together. So there's four different spots where you can receive communion, two in the back and two in the front. And so we encourage you just to say a little prayer before you receive that communion and make sure things are right between you and the Lord.